Hi, this is Sean Fink, creator of AbundantMama.com, and you're listening to Melissa on Raising Playful Tots.
Hi, I wanted to welcome you to Raising Playful Tots, and my name is Melissa. I hope this show is a place where mothers like you can safely explore a slower, simpler, and playful lifestyle so that you can get to the heart of what your family needs to thrive, both now and in the years to come. I am thrilled to have an interview in a moment with Sean Fink from AbundantMama.com. We talk about being productive and savoring slow, the number one habit that changed her family, and conversations about self-care, just to name a few things. So let's dive right into that interview. Today, I'm talking to Sean Fink, author of The Playful Family and The Abundant Mama's Guide to Savoring Slow. She's also the mother to twin girls and the creator of The Abundant Mama Project. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you so much. It's quite an honor to be on the show with you today.
Oh, I'm excited that you're here. I really want to talk about the book that you've written recently called The Abundant Mama's Guide to Savoring Slow. I have it and I love it. So I want to ask you the question, why did you choose Savoring Slow?
Oh, good question. First of all, I'm obsessed with the word savoring.
Okay.
I mean, I truly am. You know, I'm sitting here talking to you, savoring a glass of water. I mean, I just try to fit it in because life is so busy. And I feel like if I don't savor every moment, I'm going to forget it or I'm going to rush through it. And that sort of takes away the whole purpose of being here, you know, and feeling alive. And so savoring to me is it's not about being busy or not being busy. It's about just loving every single moment that you have, even if it is just, you know, washing dishes.
Yes.
Which yeah. We all have to do.
So what made you choose savoring slow as the whole topic? Because the word savoring, I get, it's a delicious word to even speak, isn't it? But the whole movement about slow and slow parenting, what kind of lit you up and made you think, you know, I really want this to be shared with everyone?
Yeah, I was talking to a client, actually, somebody who's gone through my 4-week program, and we were talking on the phone, and she was like, you know, when I think of the Abundant Mama Project, I think of you being the antidote to the busy life. And it sort of opened my eyes, but, you know, I hadn't really put it in that perspective because I'm all about living in the moment and being intentional and mindful, but I had never really looked at the big picture of it before. And so I thought, well, you know, let me go with this band busy kind of concept. And, you know, so I put together a free program and people really responded to it. So I then sat down and wrote nearly everything that I know. Now that I look back, I'm like, oh, I could have put more in there.
Always.
You know how it goes. I mean, you have to stop sometime.
Yeah.
But I put as much as I know about how I live, you know, because one of my big things right now is people think that they either are productive or mindful or productive or intentional. And you and I both know we can be really intentional and mindful parents and productive.
Yes.
So
yes.
Savoring slow is about combining those together, being really mindful in your life and intentional, but also getting stuff done, because we all feel good when we get stuff done. We feel good when our kitchen is clean, and we feel good when we've, you know, gone to, you know, nice social events and connected with other people. So I think that it's sort of my version of slowing down, but not really giving up your life. It's more about embracing the life that you have.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And you mentioned productivity, and that's something that causes so much trouble, because when we think of productivity, we think of being busy. And so busy and productivity seems to be stuck together. And we understand how to be unproductive and busy. But what does it really look like if you are productive and you have this slow look on life, this slow mentality? What does it look like for you as a mother to be productive and to live a slower life?
Yeah, I call it being peacefully productive. in my program, this is the word I'm always saying, like, my goal today is to be peacefully productive, not rushed, not overwhelmed, not burned out, not angry and bitter and sour because I have so much to do, but, you know, having two or three or, you know, even five, I'm pretty ambitious, things that really need to get done today.
Right.
And nothing more than that. You know, sometimes you have to stack your plate way more than that, and there are days like that. But most of the time, if we balance it right and we're being peacefully productive every day, you know, you can tend to, you know, stick to your top, you know, some people say three. I think three is kind of, you know, a little bit under for a busy mom.
Yeah.
You know, I have three in my work, and then I have usually at least three in my life, and then we always add in self-care in the Abundant Mama Project, too. So, you know, if I add in one or two of those. So I try to balance it out, you know, keep it not too overly ambitious, but always trying to work toward those bigger goals that I have for myself or my family and not go over that. So that, to me, is peacefully productive, you know, just pushing yourself forward, but not in a way that you're going to feel overwhelmed and burned out and, you know, exhausted by the end of the day.
Right. And so it's not necessarily that you're doing less, but you're choosing carefully what you decide to do. So I think
exactly.
People sometimes get hung up on the fact that if you're not busy, then you're not doing anything. But when you're working slower and in a slower lifestyle, like we both talk about, it's not just to do with slowing down. It's choosing very carefully what things you put in life's way.
Exactly. And there's a chapter in the book that, you know, really kind of goes into that. What feels good and what doesn't, and get rid of what doesn't. And I was just having this conversation yesterday at a women's luncheon, and people were just really impressed with my ability to know, like, what I like and what I don't like. But there are so many women who do not know that.
Right.
They just get caught up in society's shoulds and coulds and woulds, and
yes.
Then they don't, next thing they know, they're doing way more than they ever wanted. They're doing things they don't like. They're putting their kids in things they think they should be in, but they're, you know, nobody's happy. They're crying to get out the door.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I completely understand.
My family's like the only family that's not busy. well, I shouldn't say the only, but we're one of few that we know that are not busy. My kids are in one thing usually a week, and that's it. And they like it that way. Give them more time, you know, to just do whatever they want, and it gives me a chance to be able to be mindful about what I want to put into our week. I think that there is, people think that the shoulds, they add up for people. And part of living authentically is just being able to say, well, that's not for me, you know, and I'm okay with that.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need the big fancy car and the big fancy house. And, I just want a simple life. In fact, I was just before your call, I was just looking on realtor.com for a smaller house. We have a nice suburban house, but I'm thinking, well, we could do more. We could just have less. It's supposed to be clean.
So it's probably a good idea that I interrupted that search on Realtor.
Thank you, my husband. Thank you.
For the moment, anyway.
Well, I'm such a value-based person. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm looking at for a house that would be in a different area, also because where we are just doesn't always feel right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to listen to that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, because that'll make you feel, you know, if I'm closer to some of the things that I do, you know, I'll be in the car less. And,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. No, you have to keep looking back at what's going on. And something struck me that you just said earlier about the people that are around you and busy. I think if we lived in the same neighborhood, we would have a good time, because I experience exactly the same that you say about when you try and arrange dates and play dates or meetups with friends.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very tricky. You have to plan 2 or 3 weeks in advance. And even then, you know, it's just really, really hard. And when we move so much being a military family that, you know, we're making new friends and meeting new people. So it's a real priority for me. I need people around me for me to talk to and to associate with.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard. I come in and we haven't established any of our routines to do with after school activities. And I will say, okay, I'd love to go out and do something, and they're like, oh, and they start looking through their calendars, and you just think, wow, they are so busy that it's very difficult for them to step back, and it's hard to make good friends and maintain friendships to meet up when we're all so busy.
It is. That's actually one of the biggest, I don't want to say complaints, it's one of the biggest struggles that the women in my program talk about when they talk about, we talk about one of the things, in one of the group, one of the weeks is about feeling mm-hmm. enough.
Yes.
And where do you think that you're lacking in yes. feeling enough or having enough? And that having a support system or having friends is always at the top. And yes. it is. It's because everyone, not just friends, but family members are too busy. Everybody's just too busy. Yes. And mom, stuck at home with the kids, feel very isolated and abandoned in yes. many ways.
Yeah.
And, it's funny that you mentioned the play dates because we're in that exact same scenario right now where I wrote 3 notes to children my kids wanted to play with and have heard back not from any of them yet. It's been, 5 mm-hmm. days. You know, but I'm one that if I got a note, my kid would like, Mom, I really want to play with her. Okay, let me call. Let me schedule this, you know?
Yeah.
But not other families are like that.
Yes, yeah.
I'm learning.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting as we've been moving around that it seems to have got worse. We seem to be, as parents, doing more and more. So how do you get rest into the normal working day of a working mother that's busy and so that you can just be? How do you make sure that rest actually happens so that these play dates and these things can happen?
Yeah. Well, rest is a big part of the Abundant Mama Project, period. So I've been trying to do this for a very long time, so I'm probably, more, could get a master's degree in rest. I'm really good at it.
Yep.
But it's also in the program, it's the exact thing that everybody raises their hand and says, nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
And eventually they start to go, maybe I'll try it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. I take rest. There's some days where you just can't get rest in, but for the most part, I take rest. And here's why, because I am better at what I do when I take time away from it.
Yeah.
So in my work, I have learned that if I just don't do it, if I put it away for a day or an afternoon or a weekend, I actually can come back to it and get done better and be more productive. And it's the same thing with cleaning the house. If I feel overwhelmed with it and I just say, okay, I'm going to take a break, I'm going to lay down on the bed or read a book for a little while, and then I wake up or I come back out and I'm like, okay, I can do this now. And I'll get it done better and quicker, which
yes.
is always the goal, right?
Yes. I'm
still doing time on the cleaning. So I find that rest makes me more productive. And it also just makes me feel more relaxed so that I'm not a stress ball, because I would be if I didn't take some time to slow down. I'm a control freak. So rest reminds me to just stop. And everything's going to be okay if I don't do that right now. The world will
yes.
not fall apart. It'll be all right. And I have to tell myself that.
Mm-hmm.
Telling what I tell myself that. I do have to tell myself that, but, it is. It's good for us.
Mm-hmm. It is. In your book, Savoring Slow, you have 12 habits that you talk about in there, which you could do once a month or earlier if you're able to master that habit. When you were thinking about those habits, and they probably come from your personal experiences and, experiences in general, which one out of the 12 would you say is the one that has had the biggest impact on your family? It changed everything and you're just so happy for that gift of that one particular habit.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's a really good question. Probably the doing less. Do less. I'm always, less is more. That's one of my big mantras.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can think, you're just so much clearer. I'm big on clarity, aren't you? Like, love those days when you just can see the path before you and where you need to go.
Yes.
And it's not covered in toys and, you know, disarray. I don't like chaos.
Yeah.
I have a big aversion to chaos, and my kids know this. It's just, you know, loud noise and, you know, this morning my husband and the kids were jamming to Bruce Springsteen at breakfast. Because he gets them their breakfast in the morning before he leaves. And I come down and I'm like, oh, no. You know?
Yes.
I don't know if I can do this. And I try to bite my tongue, and eventually it gets to a point where I'm like, can we just turn it down? doing less and owning less just really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
We're not big on having a lot of things. We're not big on doing a lot of things. So I think that to me is the, I don't know, if you had only to do one,
yes,
it's that one.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. That's something that I think once you recognize that, it's so powerful to be able to actually implement it in your life, the less. And
yes, and I do that in my business too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of projects, you know, I'm not out there advertising and you know, doing all of these, you know, jumping through hoops to get more Facebook followers. I mean, I'm just all about, like, here's the message. If you love it, read it. And, you know, trying not to stack on too much other stuff. I mean,
yes.
It's not supposed to be about that. So I think a lot of people, you know, when they at work, oh, the more you do, the more you do. And it's not always the best, because you can do things better if you just slow down and pick one or two things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's being reflective, isn't it? It's actually having the chance to look at what you're doing and decide, is this really what I want to do and how I want to do it? And actually having a purpose and deciding, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it. So I think that,
yeah.
But you need the time and space to be able to do that. And I think when we look at our lives and we want to savor slow, so we're at this level, we're going 70 miles an hour, that's our life. We're going fast, we're going busy. And then you're presented with the message that we both have of, you know, maybe 30 to 40 miles an hour is a better pace because you can do all these other things. You can notice these things. You can appreciate. That's a really big change. And lots of people are a bit worried about that cruising speed being so different. So let's break it down. If you're at this big, fast pace, you're busy, we're not saying, okay, stop immediately and get to this very, very slow pace. So what could they do right now, maybe one or two things, that they can intentionally savor slow today or at the weekend if they were going to look at that?
Yeah, you know, the very first thing I think anybody needs to do is define what slow means to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because your slow and my slow might be very different.
Okay.
And as long as it feels right for you, then it's okay. You know, if you know, doing only five things in a weekend is slow to you, then by all means, just do five things. You know, for me, probably one thing per day on a weekend is right. That's how I define slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's really important to really grasp that part of, you know, not everybody is going to want the same definition.
Right.
In fact, I have a little challenge that I offer to people. It's an email course, and I believe one of the very first exercises is to actually sit down and write out, define what a slow day or a slow week would look like for you.
Right.
What are the things that you would be doing? What wouldn't you be doing? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing would be to really look at your schedule and decide what are your top priorities, and then start to look at the other things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
And start to figure out your exit plan. You know, if you're volunteering, you know, in you know, the school PTO, and it's not feeling good to you, and there's like 10 things on the calendar, you know, are there any of those that you can start to edit out of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, accepting that living a slower life does take time. It's not an overnight thing. It's going to take sometimes months to get yourself out of a situation. And I say situation because we all kind of get caught up. I don't know if this happens to you, Melissa, but, you know, you get to a point where you don't have anything going on.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're really slow people. So you get to a point where, like, you have nothing. And it's like, oh, I need to add something in. I can't stay home and do nothing forever, right?
Yes.
Or go crazy. Mm-hmm. So you start to add one thing and then another, and then maybe a few other things come up. And the next thing you know, you're now back to a point of busy.
Yes.
And so it takes a constant, you have to revisit all the time. But, you know, it might take you a few months to get out of that busy trap. But if you know it's not right for you, then you know that you've got to start taking things back.
Yes.
One of the things that I do for that is I don't ever get on long-standing committees or programs or boards. I've learned that about myself. I'll do a short term. You know, if it's like a 3-4 month deal,
yes.
I'm a yes. If it's a all year long, 2 years maybe, no, I'm a no. You know, and I know that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that that is going to be a short term span of, okay, and that's going to be on my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only going to be 3 months. I can handle that.
No, that makes total sense, because savoring slow does take time, and you sometimes do the flip-flop. You try it one way and it doesn't work, and then you have to try another way and then another way. You have to find what works. And then, of course, our families change constantly. The things that they bring home and the things that happen because of their ages and so on, that we have to be careful and mindful about what's going on. And in order to do that, it means that we are going to change. So we have to be able to do these abrupt turns and stops along the way.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's really important that, you know, I'm not saying, and I'm sure you're not, that busy is wrong. Sometimes
exactly, yes.
Our kids need something to be doing.
Yes.
My daughter is a child, one of my daughters is a child who, left to boredom, could be like a disaster for us.
Yes.
So by busy, I kind of mean, you know, overwhelmed and tired and exhausted, but filling your days with beautiful, meaningful things and things that feel right, that's savoring slow.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think about that. I'm like, oh, I wish I had said that in the book. But you know, the things that come to you after.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, my we've only realized recently that boredom is a trigger for her. She was diagnosed with Asperger's mm-hmm. last year. And, you know, just no schedule is not good for us.
Yes.
So we're very routine mm-hmm. In a very slow way. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So routine is good. Overwhelmed is not.
Yes. No, I completely understand. I have my youngest is a bit like that. There's many a time where he'll be head down on the couch doing absolutely nothing. And you can leave him like that for a while because you know that he is trying to work out what to do with his boredom. But he needs to have a little structure around him and maybe a few suggestions to redirect him into an area where he can actually get some traction and do something. And if we don't do that, then he could just do nothing and sit there and then get quite disruptive, because
yes.
he just needs that guidance at the moment. And it's not often that it happens, but yeah, we recognize that whereas his older two brothers will be bored for moments and then, okay, I'm just going to go do this. And then they'll go do it and start exploring and be creative. He has a tendency to just kind of fall into melancholy and just, I don't know, be at one with nothing long time.
My other daughter's so, like that too.
So, you know, where I, yeah. you know, I can honor him to an extent for a while, you still have to kind of G him up and wind him back up to the point, otherwise he'd be almost catatonic.
Right.
There, so I think that's part of his personality, bless him.
Oh, sure, for sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about personality, because you've mentioned often throughout what we've been talking about how you have worked out what's best for you as a mother and as a woman, what you have found that's worked best for your family. That's taken a lot of searching and reflection. And I mentioned recently that to you and to others about Myers-Briggs and taking that personality test. And that was because I interviewed Tish Oxenrider of The Art of Simple recently, and she was talking about it. I was like, oh, you know, I've never done one of those. Let me go and do it. And oh my goodness, after doing the personality indicator test, I was like, oh my goodness, that's totally me. So I can see from your work that, and your Pinterest board, that you are into doing personality indications too. How do you believe that getting in touch with your personality type can really help you as a parent?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's not only helps for you to know you, but it helps for you to know your child's personality too. It helps because you can understand where your triggers are coming from. If you don't, you know, I don't preach on the don't yelling. I'm not the don't yell bandwagon.
Yep. Me
parents,
too.
they yell. They've been yelling from, you know, the day they could talk.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I never promote that. But I do promote peaceful, kind living and families. And part of that is knowing when your triggers are going to rise, and not just for yelling, but just for getting angry or getting upset or feeling left out or feeling abandoned by people. Your personality really does play into everything that's going on around you, and then your children's are as well. And I'm introverted. I mean, extremely to the point of introverted, but I can really handle a room too. So I get very energized by people, but I love to be in quiet.
Yes.
I mean, I already talked about that. Solitude and quiet is really, really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly as a creator. You know, I just need, as a writer and somebody who creates content, I need that space to think and to write and to just really clear my mind. But also just, you know, with the kids, you know, I love a quiet moment with them. And but when they are loud, and they're allowed to be loud, I then have to do a lot of self-talk, like, okay, they're just being children. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's easy to think that just because they're being just, you know, unruly or, you know, loud, that they're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case. And so when you know that about yourself, it's easier to edit, you know, what you're going to say and how you're going to respond.
Yeah. I'm beginning to see that. After doing that test and having a look, I was just like, yes. And then I of course said to my husband, oh, you've got to do it too. And he did it. And we were like, oh my goodness. And so now we can start really seeing, okay, you do this, I do that, and what we need to really focus on. And it's been a real eye opener to realize that the way that we parent is not right or wrong. It's just different.
Yeah, that's a great idea to do it with your partner too.
And
I like that.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, we know that there are indicators. It doesn't mean that we are exactly it, because there's a few things that, you know, you look at and go, oh no, that's not really me, that's not how it is. But it, just in general, I can see how it can have a much bigger effect on the way in which we parent, and we can be a bit more understanding of why our partner does what they do and how they do it. Like you mentioned, you know, when your husband playing the music really loudly and doing what he's doing in the morning. And, you know, just that respect between the two of you, and we have the same issue that would be here. I'm like, why is everything so loud? But I understand that, you know, with three boys, it's always going to be loud. And now I can accept that. But the boys also understand that I enjoy stillness. Just before we came on, we had some deer that at the back of the house here in the wooded area. We're just walking through, and it was just amazing to watch them, and there was no one here to share that with.
So
I took a picture and put it on Instagram, but it was just lovely to just see and the quiet, and to see that. And I just, it wouldn't happen in the same way if the boys were here, because they'd have been loud, and by the time they came over, they'd have heard them coming.
Right, the deer would run away.
Yeah, so it's nice that I can show them when I come home, and they can be a bit more reverent over the picture, and they understand that this for mum is special because it's stillness and she likes that type of thing. And so we can still share in the right way with each other, but we just have to understand each other a bit more. It really made me think.
Yeah, well, you know, my I did a series of, I guess a couple months ago now, on highly sensitive moms.
Yes.
And that has been very popular. Mm-hmm. People are, moms are just coming out of the woodwork. And then I noticed in my program, and I didn't even ask them in their introductory, on the very first day they're to introduce themselves. I mean, I would say half the room said, I'm a highly sensitive mom. That's never happened before, but now they're knowing, that's what's wrong with me.
Once
you know that, you can really start to work around it. Like, okay, this is okay. Yes. I'm normal.
Yes.
But I'm probably just getting a little sensitive right now, and I can chill out.
Yes.
You know,
that makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I have a question from a mother who has twins as well, and they're almost three. And I just want to quote what she says. And she's asking about productivity and quiet times, because you have a program going at the moment about getting up early in the morning and being productive. Mm. Yeah. So she says, getting up before anyone else to have some quiet time really appeals, but it just seems impossible to me. My twin girls want constant cuddles from 4 a.m. Otherwise, they wake up. I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. and going back to bed at 4 a.m. How can I make it possible to be able to do a quiet time and be productive in the morning?
So her three-year-olds are getting up at 4?
Yes.
And then they're going back to sleep?
Well, they're getting up. And if she doesn't...
They're just up for the day?
I don't know if they're up for the day. I think it's more as if she doesn't do things with them, then they'll want to actually get up and do stuff. And that's really early. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Co-sleeping is tough. What I have advised for people who really want to make it work, I personally have never co-slept because I would never sleep. I'm, again, highly sensitive to every kind of noise. So even when the kids are sick, my husband is the one who will sleep with them because I would never sleep, and then I'll be terribly grouchy.
Yes.
What I have said for people who co-sleep is, if you can just do something in bed while you're awake but they're asleep, if you can do it quietly, that is one good way to try and do it. The other thing, too, is that people, and I've done this too, so I can fully admit that this is true, you think that just because you get up that time that they're going to do it every time.
Right.
But that's not always the case. They will get used to it if you are very insistent that this is mommy's quiet time, and you know that you get to sleep in. But it's going to probably be a little bit of a transition.
Yeah.
It'll take some time.
Yeah.
And they might. I mean, I could be completely wrong.
No, I understand. It'll
totally backfire, and they'll just start getting up at 4. But yeah, it's tough.
It is.
It is very tough, and because co-sleeping just poses a huge challenge for that self-care time.
Yes.
Because, you know, even at night, you are, you know, it's hard to stay up late.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be tricky. And I guess what she touches on is an issue that lots of women have for productivity and quiet times, is finding a time that is special just for themselves at any time during the day. We often feel guilty taking time for ourselves, and then when we do have time for ourselves, we want to do the to-do list that we have of 100 things, and our minds are just really busy with all these things I needed to get done. It can be really tricky to find a time that's just yours and that's specifically for you. I mean, I thrive on having that, and I can tell that you do too, Sean. But how do we encourage the mum that sees this million things on their to-do list? They are busy with their children all day and sometimes most of the night, to actually carve out this quiet time for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Rise and Shine Challenge was all about that, because I do believe that in most situations, being able to start your day with that is very helpful. But a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, getting up that early makes me too tired, you know, by the evening. And so just working in a little bit of rest in the afternoon, either with kids or, you know, if they're busy watching a show, you can rest then. But for me, I mean, I have worked at home and I have stayed home. And for me, getting up an hour, half an hour even early, is just enough to keep my sanity.
Right.
I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but if I have that time, I am good to go. If I do not have that time, I am not good to go. And I've just noticed I can tell the difference in a day. Even mm-hmm. now, I can just tell the difference. But when you can't get that, you know, one of the things that we talk about in my program is little tiny things that you can do throughout your day to take like a 5-minute breather. You know, those things can add up. Mm-hmm. If you can do, you know, 5 minutes of, you know, putting lotion on, and just sitting down and taking an intentional rest 2 or 3 times in your day, or like I said, drinking a glass of water, you know, just taking a minute, you know, the kids will be okay.
Yes.
For you to drink a glass of water, and just intentionally drink that glass of water and fill yourself up, and with good thoughts, and then kind of go back to your day, and kind of squeezing a lot of those little kinds of things in intentionally. The whole idea is to do it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't think about it, you'll forget that it even happened. You'll
yeah.
just breeze right through it. So, you know, one of the things I tell some of the ladies in my coaching program is say to yourself, this is my 5 minutes. You know, this is my 5 minutes. I don't need to do anything else for anybody else right now. And then when it's over, I just had 5 minutes of bliss, and now I'm going to, you know, go back in and do what I need to do, be the mom.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about savoring slow. Could you just briefly tell us about the Abundant Mama Project and when it starts?
Yes. We're currently in a session now. So the next session, first of all, it's a 4-week program. It goes through 4 foundations of what I found to be pivotal in my life to sort of tap into my inner mother. My mom moved away when my babies were just a few months old. And in fact, all of my family has moved away from me. And it really, it was a devastating blow mm-hmm. to be this new mom of 2 babies and not have any family to rely on. And I found myself in a very bitter and sour place, and I didn't want to be there. So I just set out on a path of just changing that for myself. And so many moms are in a bitter and sour place, whether it be because they're, you know, they feel lonely and abandoned, or, you know, they're just tired and, you know, they have had a dead end job or whatever it is that puts you there. You need to get out of it.
Yes.
And so this program was all designed around that. It goes through building what I call an abundance practice, not just a gratitude practice, but an abundance practice, and self-care, a whole week of how to figure out how to work self-care into your life, a whole week of learning to trust and let go, because many of us are control freaks.
Yes.
And I know we are. And then the final week is playing. A lot of moms want to be more playful because it's good for you, but they find that they're on the sidelines, you know, just watching and, you know, not being a part of it. So the final week is about that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you today, Sean, and getting to know you a little better and learning a lot more about savoring slow. Where is the best place that we can reach you?
AbundantMama.com.
Oh, brilliant. Today we've been talking to Sean Fink of AbundantMama.com about Savoring Slow and the Abundant Mama Project. I'm so happy that you could be here today and share some of the ideas that you have from your projects with all of us. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Brian Clark Howard, web editor with The Daily Green and co-author of several books on green living. And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
I hope you enjoyed all those ideas about self-care and savoring slow from Sean. Savoring Slow is available on Amazon and is well worth the read to understand slow for you and slower for your family. What we really mean by those concepts, what Sean really means by those concepts. Just at the end there, we talked about the Abundant Mama Project. This is a fantastic project that Sean runs regularly each year. And if you're listening to this episode in September, then there's time to sign up for the next session in October. Since she runs it throughout the year, you need to stay in touch with Sean in case you missed it this time to know when the next session is up. And I'll leave a link to her site in the show notes for you to be able to find her and be able to drink up all the deliciousness that she has to offer. There are some new posts for you this week that I have to share for you. Figuring out the family media plan. Now that we're going back to school, this is a back to school session, I've put down some thoughts about how we can figure out our family media plan for this coming school year. And practical ways to look at values. We all want to do something about our values, but what do we do? How do we teach values to our kids? What exactly can we do? So I have a back to school post called Back to School Family Values for the Month. And here I share some really practical things that you can do to share your values transparently with the kids and for conversation to start happening. Many of our families don't work well together, but we would love to know how we can do that, how we can get started on working better together as a family. And I have a post that I wrote a little while back called How to Start the Family Working Together. And the latest one that I've done this week is all about creating our happy place so that we can thrive. Now that the children are off to school, now that we are returning back to some of the things that we were doing before, this time is traditionally a time when we sometimes feel a little turmoil. Should we go back to work? Should we leave work? Should we be at home? Should we stay at home? We have all of these questions that kind of come up, and we're not so happy in the place that we are. And so I'm giving you some help and suggestions about how you can create your happy place. So if you're not happy where you are, how you can transition to what you really want to do. So I hope that those posts will be really helpful for you. All of the links will be in the show notes. Thanks for being here today. I know that there are many things that you could be doing right now, and I'm glad that you've chosen to be here. Don't forget to check out our interview today with Sean of Abundant Mama. I hope something that has been said has triggered you to investigate something more and helped you make a decision for your wonderful family. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating or review on Stitcher or iTunes. I really appreciate it, and it helps other people know that the show is still running and the comments and thoughts of what goes on here. There's a full archive of shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. If you want to get the fortnightly Raising Playful Tots note that has some encouragement and ideas on our journey of intentional simple parenting and simple play, then head on over to raisingplayfultots.com/fuzzy slippers. So you can join the community and get nice and comfy in this space. Right now, lots of you have asked about how to start having a simple and slower family life, and I'm sharing my top tips as a free ebook called On the Road to Slow and Simple Parenting. Just head on over to raisingplayfultots.com/fuzzy slippers. See you again next time. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 177. And if you want to get to the show notes, that's the number that you need, raisingplayfultots.com/177. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play and intentional parenting. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of creating our family haven. Goodbye.